We begin the Karen Davin Sat Sivah Mitz Daf Yet Tes. We begin 16 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf and from the previous two Mishnahs. That is, one of the 15 Arayas that was mentioned in the beginning of Masech and Daf Beis was Ishis Achiv Shlahei Ba'ilamai, which means that if there was a brother that died without any children, and there are maybe some other brothers, they are in the Parsha of Yibam, but a brother that was born after that brother had passed away, which you didn't have Yeshua Acham Yachta, they weren't dwelling at the same time, he is not in the parish of Yibim, hence that wife, that widow, is going to be considered Eishasach Shiesh Leibonim. It's going to be that there's no heter of Yibim, which then retains the old Issa of Eishasach. Now, there's Machlekes that was mentioned in our previous Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan regarding the criteria of this erva. Rabbanan hold, any woman that dies without any children and a brother is only born after that she's widowed will always be forbidden based on the Zika of Eishasach Shalhai Ba'ilamai. Reb Shimon argues. Reb Shimon says that no, once one of the other brothers does Yibum, he removes that original Zika of the first husband, let's call him Reuven. Once Shimon does Yibum, so now when Shimon dies without any children, with this woman that was originally Reuven's wife and now was widowed from Shimon too without any children, she's not coming from the original Zika. Hence, Shimon says that will not be a problem of Eishes Achav Shalei Ba'ilamai. A case of Eishes Achav Shalei Ba'ilamai would be a problem if, let's say, there's no other brother besides this Shimon. Reuven was the only son, died without any children, and only then did its father Yaakov have another son, Shimon. Well, then it's clearly a Zika from Reuven. That would be a problem of Eishes Achav Shalei Ba'ilamai. However, if, let's say, Shimon does Yibum first, and then Levi's born, then Levi's not going to have a problem of Eishes Achav Shalei Ba'ilamai. However, Rav Yishai says even more. Not only does Rav Shimon argue regarding Yavim v'achkach Nailad, that Shimon first does Yibum and then Levi's born, even if Levi's born and then Shimon does Yibum, still he holds in Rav Shimon's opinion that there would not be a problem of Eish Lachvash Lai Ba'ilama. Because once the Yavama falls for Shimon, even though Levi's born before he does Yibum, that moment before Levi's born, there's a Zika that's strong from Reuben's wife to Shimon, that is called Yesh Zika, and that creates as if there's some type of a bond already between them, and therefore even though Levi's born before he does the actual Yibum, it's still as if it's the case of Yavim Ba'achach Nailad. Now, the Gemara clarified, based on questions and Abaye's resolution of that, that that would apply only in the case of when there's Yavim Echad. When there's one Yavim, then is when Rav Yishai says the halacha of Reb Shimon, that it's even by Nailad Ba'achach Yavim. If there'd be more than one, let's say there's a few brothers, and then there's a brother that's born, then we wouldn't say Yesh Zika, and therefore in such a case, Rabbi Shimon would agree that Banil v'Achkach Yavam would be a problem of Eish Achav Shalei Ba'ilamai. That's why our Gemara continues now, and asks on Rabbi Yishai, and specifically according to Abaye's interpretation of Rabbi Yishai, which is the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, as follows. The Gemara asks, Umi Shani Leli Rabbi Shimon, does Rabbi Shimon really differentiate and allow, as Rabbi Yishai took a step further of the simple translation of Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, that not only does he permit Yibam v'achkach Noila, that Shimon first does Yibam and only then is Levi born, where then when Levi is born, he never encounters this problematic Zika, because he wasn't alive at the time when the Eishes Reuben was Zakuk to any of the brothers. But even in the case of Noila v'achkach Yavam, at first he's born and only then does Shimon does Yibam, whereas Abaye had explained, when there was only one brother, which was only Shimon, that's such a strong Zika, then, even though Levi is born before Shimon actually does Yibam, it doesn't make a difference. It's almost like it was Yavam Achkach Nailad, and therefore he's encountering her when she's not coming from the Zika of Reuven, because of the concept of Yesh Zika. It's very strong, the bond when there's just one Yavam, and then it would be considered that as if she was already quasi-married to Shimon, and that's why he only counted her from Shimon's Zika, not from Reuven's Zika, which was a problematic Zika, because he wasn't alive at the same time as Reuven. The Gemara asked, does Reb Shimon really make such a differentiation? But by the time in the Brayis that says, Klalim Reb Shimon, Shimon said the following general rule. Kol Shehaleda, whenever you have the birth of the third child, let's call him Levi, who is Kedemis L'Nisuin, was before the marriage of Shimon, then Loichel says, V'loi Mesiabemis. Then he does not do Chalitza or Yibim. She's totally removed from the parasha of Yibim because she's an Eishes Achav Shlahai Ba'ilamai. Because when he was born, Shimon didn't yet do Yibum to the wife of Reuven, and hence, he encounters a problematic Zika. Nisuin Kodem Levi, however, if let's say Shimon marries the wife of Reuven before Levi's born, then Oichel Etzes HaMisabem, then he can do Chalitza or Yibum, she's a regular, full-fledged, he only looks at her as Shimon's wife, and Shimon, he was alive with Shimon at the same time. That wouldn't be a problem of a Eshes Achiv, a brother's wife, Shalhoi Balaman, that he wasn't alive at the same time, because he never encountered Reuben Zika, because he was only born after Shimon had already married the wife of Reuben. Never could do either Chalitzayim. So now the Gemara asks, now, my love, B'yavim Echad, wouldn't it be sounding like that even if there was talking about that there was one Yavim, meaning when Reuben, the first brother, died, the only one that was left was one other brother, we'll call him Shimon. And only then, afterwards, did we say that Levi was born, which is the case of that we're saying, the Kalal and Shimon, wherever the birth was before the marriage, it says, V'ketani loy chaletzav lemis habemis. You don't do chalitza or yibum. So obviously, Reb Shimon does agree in the case of Neilud, which is what we're talking about, he was born and then Yavam, and then Shimon went ahead and married the wife of Reuben, that obviously Reb Shimon says that you do not say Zika. And that is not like Reb Yishai wanted to say that when, if let's say he's born before, still when there's one Yavam, as Abai have interpreted his opinion, we'll say, no, even if he's born and then Shimon does Yibim, it's really like Shimon did Yibim and then he's born. Why? Because when there's just one Yavam around, there's such a strong Zika there that almost like it's like a quasi-marriage. And therefore, when Levi's born, he's really only encountering Shimon's Zika, not Reuven's Zika. But it seems to be contradicted from this Braisa, where it says clearly that if his birth comes before Shimon does the Yibim, does the marriage, and it would sound like even if Shimon was the only brother, that you do not do Chalitza and you do not do Yibim. Which is not like Rabbi Yishai said, that you could do chalitz and you could do yibum, because when there's just one yavam, there's no problem of eishalach v'shtar bar lomai. I think Rabbi Yishai says, it's not a question. B'shnei yavam, we're talking about that there were two yavam. In other words, as Rashi explains, there were three brothers, and one of them died. And then that wife, let's we call her the wife of Reuven, falls in front of Shimon and Levi. Now, then afterwards, another brother was born, we'll call him Yehuda. She is definitely forbidden on that last brother, on Yehuda, even after the first two brothers went and did Yim with her and then they died. Because that is a case of Neilad Ulub Seif Yavim. Yehuda was born before Shimon or Levi went ahead and did Yim with her. Now, that Zika was there before they went ahead and did. And the reason is Abai had explained previously on this Amid, which we had quoted on the previous Daf, that this Zika that she had, this wife of Reuben, had to Shimon and Levi before Yehuda was born, that's not strong enough to make her like as if she was married to them, to create it, which was Ravosh's Chiddush, which Abaye had finessed in that it, when there was one Yavim, to say that, oh, even though he was born before, essentially it's like Yavim L'Seif Noilad, because it's such a strong thing, this Zika, that says that really you're already married to her, you just didn't do the actual Yibum. But Zika creates a type of a bond. And that Abai had said, as had been proven from questions, that you can say that when there is more than one Yavam. And therefore, what the Gemara is answering is that, no, Reb Shimon really holds, or Reb Yishai had said, that even Neilad Bachach Yavam, we would say, well, there's not a problem of doing Chalitza or Yim. Now, although in that Braisa it says you cannot do Chalitza or Yim, is because it's talking about that there's two Yavamin. If there's two Yavamin, there's a Shimon and a Levi, and only then is Yehuda born. Well, then we can't say that Zika was so strong to say that as if there was a marriage bond, because she can't be married to both brothers. So then we don't say Zika, as Abai had already explained earlier on this Amid. And therefore, that's why he says that if, let's say, he was born first and then Yibum was done by either Shimon and Levi, then it's going to be Loi Chaltz of Lemesiabas. But it still doesn't contradict Reb Yishai, according to Abai's interpretation, that when there's only one Yavam, that then we would say you can go ahead and do Yibum or Chalitza, because there's no problem of Eishalach B'Shalei B'Lamai, even by Neil V'Achkach Yavam, if there was just one Yavam. But on that, the Gemara asks, so you're telling me, B'Yavam Echad Mai, what would be the halacha if there was only one Yavam? Not a Shimon and a Levi, there was just a Shimon. So Hachinami, you're telling me, based on Reb Yishai's interpretation, that Oichelet, so Mizrebemis, actually in that type of case, unlike what it seems like Reb Shimon's general rule was, that you could do either Chalitza Yib, because she would only be falling from Shimon's Zika, not from Reuben's Zika. But then the Gemara's question is, from then, when the Braisa says over there, that Nisuin Koin Meleda, but if the marriage of Shimon, the Yibim of Shimon, comes before the birth of Levi, then is different than the first part of that Braisa, then Oichelet says Emes Yabemis, then you can do either Chalitza or Yibum, because then he is only encountering Shimon's Zika, not the problematic Zika of Reuven. But then the question is, Liflig Velisni Bidida. Question the Gemara asked many times throughout Shas, is, but if you could differentiate and divide in the case itself that you're saying is problematic, which the first part, when the birth is before the marriage, where he says, birth is first, saying you're encountering the problematic zika, no, you can't do chalitza, can't do yibum. And then it says, but if it's a different case, if the marriage happens first, then you could. Why? Say, in that case itself, when did we say that it's a problem if you had first the leda, the birth of the new brother, before the yibum of the original brother, and therefore it's going to be usur and yibum chalitza? That's only b'shnei yavamin. Let's qualify that. That's only when there's two yavamin, as we're explaining that case. But if there would be just one yavam, then that would be a bigger chiddush. Why do you have to go schlep to another case of when the marriage was first? Say, no, even if the birth was first. But if there was just one brother, then there would be oicheletzes emisabemis. Why do you have to go ahead and say, only if the marriage was first? Not true. Because based on Rav Oishia, if there's just one yavam, then even in the case of Neil Bachi Chayavim, you could go ahead and have chalitz or yibim. Now the Gemara answers, that's not a question. Because kula b'shnei yavam and kamari. This braisa wants to contrast when it would be usr and when it would be mutter, when there's two yavamin, when there were three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Reuben passed away without any children, and there's two brothers left. That's what Bresa wants to say. Sometimes the new brother will be forbidden, and Yimichalit doesn't know he'll be permitted. How so? If he's born first, then he cannot do. If he's born after one of the brothers does Yim, then he could go. But you're right. If it was only one yavam, then even another Mach Yavam wouldn't be a problem, but that was not the intention of the Bresa. But the Gemara says, but then the Ilamai Klal, the Gemara is still bothered by this interpretation. Because then what is this that he says, a Klal? This is the general rule of Reb Shimon. In other words, since if you're saying if there was one Yavam, then even if the birth of the new brother, let's call him Levi, was before the marriage of, let's say, Shimon, then how can you say wherever the birth is before the marriage, then you don't do Chalitza and not do Yibim? And we say it in a way of Klal or Reb Shimon. This is a general rule. But it can't be a general rule because sometimes it's not going to be like that when there's just one Yavam. Never the Gemara doesn't like this interpretation and it seems to be a difficulty on Reb Oishia. Another question on this interpretation of Abaye, which is in Reb Oishia, which is in Reb Shimon. Again, which Reb Shimon who says that if there is a Yibum that ends up happening from, let's say, Shimon, then the birth of Levi is not going to be a problem of Eish Lachash Abaylomai from the original brother of Reuven, where Reb Oishia said that even if he's born before Shimon does Yibum, which Abaye interpreted that when there was just one Yavam, and hence it was a strong Zika. So we see it almost like, even without doing Yibam, as if there was already some type of relationship. And therefore it's like Yavam Ba'achach Noilet. But that the Gemara asks, from Rav Oishia, which from a Mishnah of Chasam Abayis, where Tosfos says over here that obviously you have to say like Rabbeinu Tam's Pirish, that there was two different individuals. There was a Reb Oishia and there was Rav Oishia, because who they asking on is on Reb Oishia, so Rav Oishia is someone else asking on Reb Oishia and Abaye. Where the Mishnah says, Gimel Achen, if there were three brothers, Shnayim Hem Nisu in Shtei Achayis. So you have two brothers that are married to two different sisters. Oy Isha Bita, or one's married to the mother and one's married to the daughter. Oy Isha Bas Bita, or one's married to a woman and the other one's married to her granddaughter. Or Oy Isha Ubas Bino, or a different type of granddaughter, meaning either the daughter's daughter or the son's daughter. But be that as it may, we're talking about peers of Erva, but two brothers can marry two sisters. You can't, one man cannot marry both sisters or marry a mother and a daughter, but two brothers can go ahead and do that. Now, the case that the Mishnah there is discussing is if, let's say, those that are married to these relatives, which are arise to each other, they both die and they fall in front of a third brother. So, now the Mishnah says, Harei elu chaltzais, so one has to go ahead and do chalitza to these two women, v'loi misyamis, and you can't go ahead and do yibim. Now, the reason is because essentially, biblically, you have to do something to them. They're not totally exempt because they're both zakuk from two different brothers. The only problem is that you're somewhere in the middle because each one is going to be the relative of your zakuka. No matter which one you're going to be taking, since one is a woman and the other one is the daughter, well, she's already your zakuk, so you can't do bibim to the other one because she's essentially your mother-in-law, because your zakuka is like your wife on some level. That makes the mother the mother of your wife. And the same thing is in the reverse. In all these different cases, you're problematic, so you have to do chalitza because there's still a zika, but you can't do yibim because then you're going to be encountering the relative of your zakuka, which is almost like the relative of your wife. That's the Binyan Tanakam. Reb Shimon says that you're exempt, even from chalitza. As Gemara later on will explain, that he learns out from the term litzrar, which says that if their co-wives in the Nefila, which means to say if they're coming from two different brothers and they're falling in front of this one Yavim at the same time, their co-wives in a Zika, that he says, that means to say that's total exemption of the mitzvah of Yibum, and he says they're both going to be exempt. And not like the Tanakhama says that there's someone in the middle that you have to do Chalitza, but you can't do Yibum. Now that the question of Rebbe Yishi is v'isla g'day d'chsav Reb Shimon Zika kiknu sadami. If you hold like Rebbe Yishi, that Reb Shimon holds, as Abaye had interpreted, so if we would be saying regarding one Yavam, that Zika is like almost like a consummation of the relationship, as if there's a marriage here, well then there's a problem. Liyabim likamaisam. Why is Reb Shimon saying that you're totally exempt? Let him do Yibum to the first one, the one that falls first. Now, even if, let's say, he didn't get a chance yet to do Yibum, to marry her, until the other brother died, so now he has two sisters falling in front of him, but that doesn't bother us, because from the moment the first one dies, there's already a Zika. Now that Zika, as we said, when there's one Yivama, so that is halacha of, that's halacha of a Zika, of a Yesh Zika, and the Yesh Zika makes it like a marriage. If it's like a marriage, well then v'tifter idach. Then when the second one falls, even if he didn't do anything yet, she should be exempt because she's achais isha. She's the sister of his wife. And therefore, you can go ahead and do Yibum to the first one because, as Abaye had said, this is essentially a case of like Yavim Echad, like of one Yavim. And the reason is because when the first one fell, so then she only fell in front of one person. And the reason is because if we have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, and then there's Levi who is not married to any one of them. When Reuben passes away without any children first, and then even if like a few minutes later, Shimon passed away without any children, and you have both sisters falling in front of Levi, but essentially when Reuben's wife fell, she only fell to Levi, because in regards to Shimon, she's an erva of a chaisisha, because he's married to the other sister, and therefore an erva never falls in the Yibum at all. So who's she falling to? Only falling to Levi. If she's falling to Levi, it's like Yavim Echad, he's the only available Yavim. That's a Yesh Zika type of situation, which again, Abaye had interpreted in Reb Ishia, that we say that almost like there's a marriage. Hence, when the other sister falls, so she doesn't fall at all to Yibum. When Shimon dies around the children, his wife is already the Achais Isha of Levi, because that Zika creates it as if she's his wife on some level. And therefore, the Rav Oishi's question on Rav Oishi is, why does Rav Shimon say that both these women are exempt from Yibum Chalitza? That shouldn't be the case. The halacha should be that the first one that fell should be the mitzvah of Yibum, and the second one should be exempt, because then she'll be the Achais Isha of the first one, because you actually almost have it like she's your wife, based on the halacha of Yesh Zika, which we had explained, that it makes you like Kiknus, almost like as if you did Yibum already. So that the Gemara says, I'm Rav Avram, he says, you're right. My Poiter Nami, what do you think Reb Shimon meant when he says that you're exempt? Poiter Bishniya, he meant to say that you're exempt by the second one that fell, the last one to fall. If there's Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, when Reuben dies without any children, and again, as we just explained, whether it's a mother and a daughter or two sisters, be that as it may, the Shimon is never going to have that nefila to him because he's married to the other relative. So that's an erev, it's not coming to him. It's only coming to Levi. It's Yavim Echad. It creates a situation of Yesh Zika. It's almost like there's a marriage. And then he's already could go ahead and do Yibum because she's already almost like his wife. And then when Shimon dies a few minutes later without any children, that is considered an erev to him already because it's already Achais Ishtai or his wife's mother or his wife's daughter, but whichever one it is. And it means to say that the second one's going to be exempt. But yeah, there's no question because we actually are saying this halacha concept of Reb Yishai of Yesh Zika. But it's not like as the Gemara had assumed in the question that says, oh, that he poiter exempts both of them, which would be a problem because according to Reb Yishai, it should be that you should be able to do Yibum to the first one because Zika creates as if there's a bond already. But that the Gemara asked, but by the time on the Braisa, Reb Shimon poiter bishtehen, he exempts by both of them. You just interpreted his words, Reb Shimon poiter. Paiter by the second one, because the first one, based on Yesh Zika, it's like it's his wife already, and then the second one that falls is Achais Ishtai, or his wife's mother, or whatever it is, but we see clearly in the Braisa, it says, by both of them you're exempt, which is not like the halacha of Reba Ishia, because if it's like Reba Ishia, then the first one, you should be able to consummate that relationship, because Yesh Zika says as if it's your wife already, and the second one that falls should already be excluded, but Reb Shimon says in the Braisa that they're both going to be exempt. Some Rabba still says it's not a question. What does it mean, the second one? It means shnir shebezug zeh, v'shnir shebezug zeh. It means the second one in this pair and the second one in that pair. Now, what that means, Rashi explains. He says, let's say there were three brothers. Two of them that were married to two sisters. Now, although the case that was mentioned over there in that Mishnah Chav Chasam Abayis that Rav Yishai is asking from sounds like it's saying like four different cases, actually, Rava says it's actually one case. Meaning, it's not that there's a case of three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, or a different case of two brothers, one's married to a mother, one's married to a daughter, or another case. He says, actually, we're talking about that Reuben and Shimon are married not only to two sisters, but they're actually married also to, there's four women here, not two women. There's not like Reuben married to one sister, Shimon married to another sister. It's actually Reuben's married to one sister, Shimon's married to another sister. Now there's another two women. Reuben's married to a woman, and Shimon's married to her daughter. Then both Reuben and Shimon die. Now all these four women fall in front of the third brother, Levi. And that is what the halacha and the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches is saying, that one of the first women, meaning from Reuven, who he's the first one that passed away, one of his wives, Yib Mizdantar. Now, both of the second wives are going to be exempt. In other words, one of the first ones, you're right, based on Rabbi Yishai's halacha, which Abaye interpreted, will be considered like a knusa, and you'll do Yibim. Now, she'll exempt her tzara, like any time, you only do Yibim to one of the wives. Now, when we say the Shniyos HaPetur is that he poiter b'shtehen, what shtehen? Both, he exempts them, the second of Esha Shimon, meaning when Shimon dies, both his wives are going to be exempt. One because of an erva, because whichever one of the first ones of Reuven's wives that you're going to be considering her as already married to Levi, there's a relative that's by Shimon, whether it's the mother and the daughter or the two sisters. So it comes out that one of them of the second pair, meaning of Shimon's wives, will be excluded because she's an erva, because of the first one that was already, so to speak, quasi-married to Levi, based on Kiknusa from Reuven, and the second one because she's a tzara, she's a co-wife of that erva. So when Rava says that it's the second one in this pair and the second one in that pair, what he means to say is there's two pairs of Reuven with Shimon. Shimon is the second of both pairs, because Reuven's the first one to pass away. So there's no matter which one that Levi's going to end up marrying by Reuven, either the mother of the mother-daughter or the sister of the sister-sister, either one. Now, once he does Yibim, so that, again, will exempt the other one because you only do Yibim to one of them. Now, when we say that Paiter B'shtehen, it means both of Shimon's wives, meaning the second one of that pair, because whichever one it is, it's the erva to that one that Levi ended up doing Yibim to, and the second one of the other pair, because she's a tzara of that erva, of that other pair. That's how Rava interprets. But the Gemara doesn't like that interpretation. The Gemara says, a katoi Rava ba'arba zugi. Rava made an error regarding the four pairs mentioned in that Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches. And that's because Rava assumed that the Mishnah is talking about, regarding these two different cases of two sisters or a mother and a daughter, that they're all falling, it's one case, falling in front of one yavam. From the fact that he answered, that we're talking about, the second one of this pair and the second one of that pair. But as the Gemara explains, that's a mistake. Because Chada, first of all, the oy ketani. If you look at the Mishnah over there, it says, or a mother and a daughter, or a mother and a granddaughter, or a mother, or two sisters. So obviously, that we're not talking about that it was one case falling from the same two brothers. But moreover, the Gemara says that if it was talking about that it's falling from one brother, that means to say that there were three brothers, so two of them were married, two sisters, and married to a woman and a daughter, and married to a woman and her daughter's daughter, and Reuven is married to the mother, and Shimon's married to the son's daughter. In other words, what would come out, based on the way Rava's interpretation, is that each man, Reuven and Shimon, are married to four different women. Then they both die, and then they fall in front of the third brother, in front of Levi. And that, Reb Shimon is saying, the way Rava wants to resolve Abaye's interpretation in Reb Yishai and Reb Shimon, that, one of the first wives of Reuven, you'll do Yibim to. And then the Shniyos, again, what we explained, that when it means Poyit B'Shtein, means to say that the wives of Shimon will be exempt, meaning all four of them will be exempt. One of them, because she'll be the Erva, because Reuven, because Levi went and did Yibim to one of the four wives of Reuven, then that counterpart of that relationship, whichever one it is, the two sisters or the mother daughter, would be the erva by Shimon's peers. Now all the other one of the other peers will be the co-wives of that erva. So therefore, all four women will be exempt. So then the question is, Reb Shimon Paita Ba'abot in Mebaile. So it has to say Reb Shimon exempts by all four, because there's four partners to Reuven's wives, which are all exempt, because one of them becomes the Erev, and then the other ones become the Tzaras Erev. So why would it be Paita B'shtehen by both of them, meaning by both wives of Shimon, when it should be all four of them? Because if we're saying it's one case, it's not just the case of two sisters and a mother and daughter. There's another two more cases. They were a mother and two different types of granddaughters. So that's a second question. But V'yaitan, the third question is, we learned in the Braisa, it says Reb Shimon Paita B'shtei, and he says that both of them are going to be exempt. Meaning, both sisters are falling from both brothers, from Chalitza and Yibam. Now how do we know it means both, meaning the wife of Reuven and the wife of Shimon, not as the Gemara, as Rav tried interpreting, that's talking about just the wives of Shimon? Because he says, Shanem, it says the pasuk in Vayikra, it says, V'isha el achisa, a woman to her sister, l'sikach litzur, you shouldn't take for them to be rivals. What that means is, Reb Shimon says, b'shosh shenasu tzara zu lezu, at the time when they become rivals one to the other, in other words, like this case where both of them are falling at the same time to this one Yavam, to Levi, l'yei l'cha likuchin afal b'achas men, that then you shouldn't marry, you shouldn't do yibim, not even to either one of them. So obviously, that we're saying that both of them are going to be exempt, and not just the wives of Shimon, but even the wives of Reuven. And that would be because that we don't say that there's Zika to say that the first one is considered like a Knusa. And therefore, that seems to be not like Reb Yishai's interpretation in Reb Shimon, because we see clearly that Reb Shimon holds that even though Reuven died first and then Shimon died, but since at the same time they were tzaras to each other, you're going to be exempt. But according to Reb Yishai, that should not be the halacha. According to Reb Yishai, since the wife of Reuven passed away, so Ashes Reuven has a yes zika to Levi, and therefore it should make that only the Ashes Shimon should be exempt, but not Ashes Reuven. And yet see, here we see clearly that Reb Shimon holds that Litzur tells you that they're both going to be exempt. And obviously we say Ein Zika, not like Reb Yishai's interpretation to say Reb Shimon would even be by Noel Vachachiyav. Sifat Gemara says, Elam Rav Ashi says a different interpretation to resolve Reb Yishai's interpretation. He says, Eden Nafal B'Zachazeh, you're right. If, as the whole assumption of all these, of the question that everyone was trying to resolve up until now, that if they died at different times, Reuven and Shimon, so achinami, you're right, the halacha would be that Zika would make it like as if there was a marriage here, and the first one that falls would be Misyabemes, even after the second one has Nefila, in other words, like Reb Yishai. But hachma iskina, and you want to know why over here Reb Shimon says that both of them, the wife of Reuven and the wife of Shimon, will be examined, is because the Torah didn't offer Bavas Achas, they died at the same moment. And that's because Reb Shimon Savla, Reb Yishai Glili, Reb Shimon holds like Reb Yishai Glili in Masechtas Bechoris, Nabi Zayin et al. Dama that he says, F Shalat Samson, there could be things that happen exactly at the same moment. Now that halacha which is mentioned over there, Masechtas Bechoris, is talking about a ewe, a female sheep that never gave birth yet, never had the halachic status of a Bechor, which is the firstborn animal that has to go to the Kayan, never came out of it yet. And then it gives birth to two males, and both of their heads come out at the same time. So basically he says, both of them go to the Kayan. The Chum say no. One goes to him, one goes to the Kayan. And the reason is because they hold that EF Shalit Samson. It can't be that they both came out at the same moment, the same second. Rather, it must be one of them came out first, and that was the Peter Rechem. That's the first one that came out of the womb, which has the status of the Bukhar. And the second one is the Chulun one, the unconsecrated one. Now, since we don't know which is which, because to us it looks like it's the same moment, so both of them have a doubtful status of Bukhar on it. So you give one to the Kayan, and the second one has to go ahead and you put it into pasture until it develops a blemish, and then the balabais, the owner, could go ahead and consume it. Now, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Rav Ashi is saying is that Reb Shimon also holds a Gemara that it's Efshal Samson. It could be that both brothers, you know what, died exactly the same second. Therefore, you can't say that one of them was the first brother, which we always call Reuben, to pass away. And therefore, that's why Reb Shimon says they're both going to be exempt. As Gemara learns later on from Litzra, because if they're both a tzar at the same time, you're right. If we wouldn't say the Grisa Glili, then yes, since it wouldn't be at the same time, so we'd say that one of them was the first, which that would be the one eligible for Yibam, because that would be Yashzika, which would create a Kiknusa. It just, we wouldn't know which one is the first one to say that the second one is exempt. And therefore, then the halacha would be that both of them would need to have Chalitza, and you wouldn't be able to say that they're both totally exempt based on halacha of Litzra. But the reason why Reb Shimon is saying over here that both are exempt is because it actually happened, like Rabbi Yitzchak Lehi's opinion, Efshel Tzamza happened exactly at the same second. But if it didn't, then it would be like Rabbi Yitzchak, it's not refuting Rabbi Yitzchak, it would be that the first one that dies, there would be Yashzik, and then the second one would be exempt. So therefore the Gemara concludes the interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak without refuting his opinion. But now the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar, he goes back and he actually argues in Rabbi Yishai's opinion, which we were discussing on this daf, which began on the previous daf in his interpretation in Rav Shimon's opinion. He says, no. He says, B'yabim va'ach kach noilad polig Rav Shimon. Where Shimon first does Yibam. Reuben dies around the children, Shimon does Yibam. And only then, after he does Yibam, is Levi born. There Rav Shimon argues, and he says that, okay, that's not a problem of Eishas Achav Zabar Lamed. But actually, if Levi's born first and then Shimon does Yibam, he doesn't argue, and there even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that would be a problem of Eish Lachav Shabbat Lamai. Now, but the question was, as the Gemara, which was one of Rabbi Yishai's proofs on the previous Daf, that regarding why do we need two cases, our Mishnah and the Mishnah on the first Mishnah in this parak. So now Rabbi Papa says, Ritavayu, actually both cases of the Mishnayas, meaning this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, the Rabbanan Yitzchak, it's actually coming to tell us the opinion of the Rabbanan, which is that Rabbanan say that you're exempt from Yibam Chalitza, meaning you're usher because of Eish Lachav Bailamai by both cases. Now, the question, again, which we posed in the previous daf was, then why do you need the first Mishnah? Of course, that case is talking about Neilet Ubsev Yavam, that you're going to be Pater. What do you mean? If in our Mishnah, on Daf Yud Chesam Beis, you say that even if Shimon does Yibam first, and then Levi's born, where Levi never encounters that Zika, and yet still the Rabbanan say you're going to be Potter. So the previous Mishnah, we're talking about where Levi's born first, well, of course there, because he's encountering the problematic Zika, why would we have to say that? So that's where Rabbi Yishai brought his Raya, oh, because that case is coming to tell us Rabbi Shimon, who argues even over there, but Rabbi Papa doesn't say that. So that the Gemara says that that's Rabbi Papa saying that that's not a question. Because V'loi zu av zu k'tani, which is a klal that the Gemara says many times throughout Shas, that first the Mishnah starts off the second parak telling us a case where Levi's born and then Shimon does Yibam. Then it tells us, you know what? Even a bigger chiddush, even where Shimon does Yibam first and then Levi's born, that then not only there of Neil B'Sev Yavim that you're going to be exempt, but even by Yavim B'Sev Neil, even there it's going to be exempt. But you're right. At the end of the story, you only need our Mishnah, you don't need the previous Mishnah, but that is a standard that we find by Mishnayis, which is loizu, not only this, but avzu katani, even something bigger I'll tell you. Not only if Levi's born first and then Shimon does Yibam, even if Shimon does Yibam first and Levi's born, even they're going to be exempt. However, Reb Shimon that argues is not going back on the previous Mishnah, it's only like he says over here in this Mishnah, on Yavim Sev Neilet, but no Sev Yavim, he would agree that it would be exempt from Eishas Achav Shabbat Lamed. So the Gemara says, Tani Kavah Seder Rav Papa. So there's a braisa that says, like Rav Papa, that Rav Shimon agrees by Noel B'Sev Yavam, that then it would be exempt from Eish Achav Shabbat Lamai, which would then be betup to Rav Yishai, that would refute the opinion of Rav Yishai, which we had been discussing on this stuff, which was a continuation of the previous stuff. Because the braisa says as follows, Shnei Achim Bo'il Mechad, if there's two brothers that are alive at the same time, U'meis Echad Men B'Lei Vlad, now one of them dies without any children, again the classic case of Yibam. Now, the second brother, Shimon, is getting ready to do a mimer to the Yavama, to his brother Reuben that died around the children. He wants to, he's not ready to do Yibam yet, but he wants to do this type of rabbinic kedushin. But he didn't get a chance to go ahead and do the mimer yet. He was preparing, he was getting ready. Now, as Rashi says, the Gemara later will ask, what is the relevance over here that he was going to, he didn't get a chance yet. So the Gemara will ask that. But be that as it may, that's with the case of the Braisa. So he didn't get a chance yet to do Maimer. Until, before he even got a chance to do Maimer, Levi was born. Umeis, and then Shimon dies. So that the Braisa says, so the first woman, which was Reuven's wife, she gets excluded because of Eishas Achav Shlehi Bai Lamai, because Reuven, Levi encounters this Zika, because Shimon didn't even do Maimer yet to that. Bishnia, now the wife of Shimon, who also died now, is you could do either do chalitza or yibam. Now, however, if asa ba maimer, if Shimon had done maimer to Reuben's wife, and va'achekach noil ach, and then afterwards Levi was born, v'achach asa b'maimer. Or if Levi was born, then Shimon did a maimer, u'meis, and then Shimon dies, then harishayin yaitzim misham eser achav shleib bar lami. So then Reuben's wife is still exempted because she's the brother's, his brother's wife, that he wasn't alive with his brother at the same time. V'shniach haletzav lemes habemes. And the second one, the wife of Shimon, here you cannot do either chalitza or yibim. Here you have to do only chalitza and not yibim. The reason is because maimer creates this difficult situation in the sense of, because it's somewhat Shimon now has a relationship with the wife of Reuben, who again is an erva to Levi, because she's eshes achav shlohei by lamai. Levi's encountering that zika because Shimon didn't go ahead and fully make a maimer, and even if he did, we're going like the opinion of the Tanakama, who holds that in all cases, once there's a zika from Reuben, that always stays extant, and Levi is always going to be forbidden for her. Now Shimon did a maimer in the Reuben's wife, so Shimon's wife is somewhat of a co-wife, a rival to that woman, but not a total one. So therefore, you can't do yibum because she's somewhat like of a tzara serva, but it's not so full-fledged a maimer; it's only rabbinic, and therefore it cannot exclude her totally. And therefore, you have to do chalitza to the wife of Shimon. That's the opinion of Tanakama. We continue on Talmud Beis, where the Braisa continues and says, Reb Shimon Amar, he says, no, bi asa ei chalitza shel achas mem, the bia or the chalitza of one of them, peteres terasa, will exempt the rival. Which shortly the Gemara will explain that it's going on the case, because there were two cases we mentioned so far in the Braisa. It's going on the case of where Shimon first did the maimer in Eishes Reuben, and only then Levi was born. And the reason is because Reb Shimon holds that maimer is a doubtful kinyan of Eishes Reuben or not. And now Reb Shimon is going to qualify now this statement that he just said. So he says there's Shimon who has his original wife, and he has his quasi-wife, doubtful wife, because maimer, maybe it's kinyan, maybe it's not kinyan. And so then he says that, look, you could either do bia chalitza to either one of them, and then it will exempt the other one. However, he qualifies right now, and he says that this that I said, that the bia or the chalitza of one of them will exempt the rival, actually, it's not either one of them. It's actually going on, if you either did chalitza or yibim to the second one, meaning to Shimon's original wife, then the first one, Eishes Reuben, will be exempt mamanavsha. And that's because, as the Gemara will explain at the end of the daf, that if maimer is koina, which means to say, again, Levi was born after Shimon did a maimer. So if the maimer is, Shimon holds not like the Rabbanan, that it's does something in the middle. He says, look, it's either kaina or it's not. Right? It's doubtful if it is, but it's either one or the other. So if maimer is kaina, so then it's like yavam l'saif nailad. And again, we're going in the opinion of Reb Shimon, which he holds yavam l'saif nailad is going to be permitted. So then in such a case, according to Reb Shimon, even the first one is going to be permitted. And therefore, the chalitza of Eisha Shimon will exempt her. Because, again, like we said, if Maimer is a Kenyan, so it's like Shimon is married to the wife of Reuben, so then they're both coming from Shimon, and Reuben never encounters that problematic Zika. Again, according to Reb Shimon, who holds Yom Sa'ab Nailud, there's no problem with Eishalach Mashai B'lamai. And if Maimer is not Kaina, so then even so, in such a case, the Yibim he's doing to the wife of Shimon is also okay, because what comes out in such a case is that Shimon's wife is a Eishes Achav Shahi Bailami. Levi was alive at the same time as Shimon. And what's more than that is that since Maimer is not a Kenyan, Shimon's wife is not a Tsaras Erva of the first one, because we said that Maimer on this side of the coin is not a Kenyan. And so the first one gets excluded because she's Eishes Achav Shahi Bailami, right? Because that's like the case of Neilad Ulub Saif Yavam, because essentially when Levi's born, even though Shimon did a maimer, if you're saying that maimer is not a kinyan, so that means Reuben Zika is still extant when Levi is born. So either way you look at it, the way we're qualifying Reb Shimon's halacha is that we're talking about actually when Shimon does a maimer before Levi's born, if you do yibum or chalitza to the wife of Shimon, either way it'll take care of the other part of the equation of Eishes Reuben. Because as we said, if it's a Kenyan, so then Reuben's wife is already Shimon's wife before Levi's born. That's like Yavam L'Saif Nailet, where Shimon holds there's no problem about the Zika of the first one. So when you do even to the original wife, that will exempt her co-wife. It's from Ba'yis Echad. And if it wasn't the Kenyan Maimer, so then anyway she's not in the equation because she's Eishes Achav Shleib Ba'lamai, and therefore the only one you have is Eishes Shimon, who you could do Yibmur Chalitza. However, this is what Reb Shimon qualifies. He says, but if chalatz lebailas maimer, but if you do chalitza to the wife of Reuven, who then Shimon did maimer to her, loy niftar tzara, then that will not exempt the her co-wife, Shimon's original wife. Because, as we said, we're not sure what maimer does. If maimer is not kaina, so then what that means is that the one that you're doing chalitza to now, maybe is nothing. Because maybe she wasn't even the parasha of Yibam, because maybe she was a Eshes Achav Shleih by Lamai. Because Levi was born, and since if there's that side of the coin that Maimer is not Kaina, so it's like Noilad Va'ach Kach Yavam, because then Levi is encountering the Zika of Reuben. And since it's not going to be any Chalitza, it cannot exempt the other woman who is just from Shimon. And that, you're not taking care of that problem, and therefore won't exempt her. So if you did chalitza to the Balas Maimer, you would still have to go ahead and do chalitza to Eishes Shimon. That's the first half of the Braisa, which was discussing if Shimon, regarding Shimon's doing Maimer and regarding Eishes Achav Shleih by Lamai of Levi. Now the Braisa continues, Kenasa, if let's say Shimon didn't just do Maimer to the wife of Reuben, he actually consummated the relationship, he did Bia. Umeisen, then he dies, and then the Achkach Noilad Loy Ach, and then there's a brother born to him, but again, he wasn't alive, this Levi, not when Reuben was alive, and not when Shimon was alive. So you have a problem of Eishes Achav Shleih by Lamai. Oishen Noilad Loy Ach, or even if the brother was first born after Reuben died, then the Achkach Knasa, and then Shimon goes and consummates the relationship, which again is also a problem, because then that's like Noilad B'Sev Yavam, because he was born. And only then Shimon did the Yibam, but that means Levi encountered that problematic Zika from Reuven. Umeis, and then Shimon dies. So in both these cases, Shtein, Baturism, and Chalitza, and Yibam, both women will be exempt from Chalitza and Yibam. And in this case, Reb Shimon doesn't argue. And this is what we said, that this is the riot to Rav Papa, not like Reb Yishe, because we see that in both these cases, which are essentially the halacha of Neil B'Sev Yavam, where Levi encounters that problematic Zika, even if later Shimon does Yibam, it doesn't make a difference. It's going to be, even according to Reb Shimon, because as we see, Reb Shimon doesn't argue in this case, will be exempt from Chalitza and Yibam. Now the Braisa continues and says, Kenasa v'noilad lo'ach. If let's say Shimon first does Yibam, and then Levi's born, v'achkach meisin, and Shimon dies, shtein b'turism and Chalitza and Yibam. This is the opinion of Divrei Meir, which is the opinion of the Chachamim, that this is still considered a case of Eishes Achav Shleih by Lamai, even if Shimon did Yibam first, and only then Levi's born, still that problematic Zika still carries over to Shimon, and Levi will still be considered an Erva to Levi, which will then exempt the co-wives, because they're Tzoris Erva of Eishes Achav Shleih by Lamai. But Shimon Aymer, he argues, as he says in our Mishnah, no. Ha'ilu bo matzah beheta, since when Levi's born, the first time he encounters this woman, who was originally Reuben's wife, and now she's Shimon's wife, he finds her in a permitted state, because he's not encountering that Zika. Shimon already relinquished, already neutralized that Zika of Reuven, and he's only seeing her as a wife of Shimon. She was never forbidden to him at any one point in time, because he didn't have that problematic Zika of Eishach Shabbat Lame from Reuven. So therefore, Mayam Lezman Shiitzer, Shimon says you can do Yim to whichever one of the wives you want to, or Chal Lezman Shiitzer, you can do Chalitza to either one that you want. Now, the Gemara will explain parts and pieces of this Braisa for the remainder of the Daf. But one thing the Gemara concludes, which was the purpose of why I brought in this Braisa regarding the Machlekes of Reb Papa and Reb Eisha and the opinion of Reb Shimon, does he argue only by Yavim Sev Noil or even by Noil Sev Yavim? So on that, the Gemara says as follows. Ha'pava de Seifa. This last case mentioned in the Braisa of Yavim Sev Noil, where Shimon first does Yibim and then Levi's born, Laman Katanila. Why is it, in other words, for whose opinion were we illustrating it by saying it as a separate case, and it wasn't part of the first two cases? Now, there were two cases that were mentioned that it seems like everyone agrees will be exempt from Yibim and Chalitza, which was the case of, if let's say Reuben dies around the children, Shimon does Yibim, then he dies around the children, and then Levi's born, where it seems, according to everybody, that would be a problem of Eishel Achav Shleih by Lamai. Or there was another case of where it was Neyle de Achkach Yavam, where first, Reuben died around the children, then Levi's born, then Shimon does Yibam, then it's exempt from Yibam Chalitza. And then Reb Meir says a separate case, but it's mentioned on its own, as almost separate, which is a case of Yavam Achkach Noilid. We're there, Reb Meir says that it's also going to be exempt from Yibam Chalitza, and then Reb Shimon says that no, since he finds her in this permitted state, that then it's going to be permitted, it's not going to be also because Eishes Achav Shleih by Lamai. So why is it said separate? If it's coming to say regarding Reb Meir's opinion that even in such a case where even though it's Yom Seb Nailu that he finds her in a permitted state, still it's going to be Usr, and it's not coming to tell us Reb Shimon's opinion that regarding that this is the only case that he argues on. But that thing where it says Mechti, let's see. Leishani le Reb Meir. Reb Meir does not make any differentiations between Yom Achach Nailu, whether Shimon first did Yibim and then Levi was born, or whether Levi was born and then Shimon did Yibim. Either way, he says it's going to be Usr. There's always a problem of Yishak Shabbat Lomay. So if so, Li'arvinu, let him mix together the cases of Lesninu and say them all together in one compartment. In other words, he should have just said all three cases together. If Shimon marries the wife of Reuben and then he dies, and only then is Levi born after the death of Reuben and Shimon, or the second case, if Levi's first born and then Shimon does Yibim and then Shimon dies, or the third case, not as a separate case, or first Shimon does Yibim and then Levi's born and then Shimon dies, that then they're both going to be exempt because that's a Eishes Achav Shlebei Lomai. So why does it say it as a separate case? El Alav, rather, the Gemara concludes from the fact that the Gemara separates that third case from the previous two cases. Obviously, it's because it's coming to tell us that Reb Shimon, it's only on that case that Reb Shimon is talking about, because it's only when Shimon first is Yibim and then Levi is born, that's where he argues, as he says his reasoning in the Braisa, because then he encounters her in a state of permission. But in the first case, but when Levi's first born and then Shimon does Yibim, there he would not argue and he would agree that there it would be a problem of Eishalach of Shabbat Lamay. So he wants to conclude, Shemamino, obviously from here we see like Reb Papa, not like Reb Aisha, it seems clear that Reb Shimon is only arguing on the case of Yom Achach Noilad, but however, regarding the second case that's mentioned in the Braisa of Noil Achach Yavam, that there Reb Shimon would agree that that would be a problem of Eishalach Achav Shleibai Lamay, like Reb Papa, and there he would not say that the third brother, Levi, can go ahead and do Yibim and Chalitz with them. That's the conclusion of this discussion, the refutation of Reb Aisha, and the opinion of Reb Papa, that Reb Shimon only argues, like the case in our Mishnah, of Yavim Achach Nailut, because he finds her then in the state of permission, whereas by Nil Achach Yavim, he's finding her in the state of Isser, of the Zika of Eishes Reuben. Now, the Gemara goes back and says, Amar Ma, so he said in the Braisa, when there's two brothers, and one of them dies. So he said that if Amahasheni lasses Maimer Biyavimta, if the second brother wants to go ahead and attempt to make a Maimer in Reuben's wife, but he didn't get a chance yet to do it until Levi was finally born before he even got a chance to do Maimer, Umeis, and then Shimon dies. So then the Tanakhama said, so the first one gets, because the Tanakhama is like Reb Meir's opinion holds always. The wife of Reuven will always be Eishes Achav Shleibai Lomay, no matter what the case would be for Levi. Veshniya, Oichaletzes Emes Abenes, where he said the second one, you could do either Chalitza or Yibim, because since Shimon never did Maimer, so there is nothing ever here regarding to view them as co-wives, and therefore they're two separate cases of Yibim, and you could do either Chalitza or Yibim to the wife of Shimon. The Gemara asked, as we alluded to this on Amad Aleph, my Amad, what does it mean that he was getting ready, he was getting up to do the Maimer, and what does it mean? But he didn't get a chance. What's the difference? If he did, he did it. If he didn't do it, he didn't do it. So he didn't do it. So why do I have to know that he wanted to, he's about to, and then he died? What's the relevance? He never did it. So if he never did it, so then that's why we're saying that the second, his wife could be taken, either Chalitza Yibim, because he never ended up making a Maimer in the Eishes Reuben. So the Gemara says the reason why it says in that way is because Elo Amad, rather, when it says to say that he got up to do the Maimer, meant to say Midaita. Meaning, he was trying to get her to agree to it. Now, when it says, well, hispik, he didn't get a chance to do it, it meant midaita. She didn't end up agreeing. She didn't want, this yavam didn't want this yavam. What does that mean? Elabal karcha, rather, since she didn't want it, he forced her to take the maimer. He says, you know what? Whether you like it or not, we're getting engaged. I'm the yavam, you're the yavam, you're taking this maimer. Now, that's what the chiddush of the Tanakama of the Bryce is saying, that maimer bal karcha, when you force a Yavama to take a Maimer, that doesn't do anything even partially, it's not even like an acquisition. And that's the Chiddush that was saying that, and therefore the Eisha Shimon, his original wife, could be taken with the Chalitza Yibim. Because although that Shimon ended up making a Maimer in Eisha's Reuben, but since it wasn't with her will, therefore it's like it never happened. And that's why Levi could do either Yim Chalitza with his wife. As the Gemara says, the delay Rebbe, because it's not our Tana of our Braisa is not like Rebbe at the time, like when the Braisa. Ha'isa Maimon be Yavim Tishlemidaita. If someone does a Maimer, does this rabbinic Kedushin for the Avama against her will, Rebbe Aimer Kana, Rebbe says, it's an acquisition. It's considered a full fledged rabbinic Kedushin for the Avama. Say it's not a Kenyan, and that's who the town of Abraiz is like, and that's what we're saying, that he went to do it, but he didn't get a chance to do it, means to say he didn't get a chance to do it with our will, but he did it, and still it's nothing. Now the Gemara is my time in the Rebbe. What's the reason, Rebbe, that it is a Kenyan? So he says, because Gomer may be the Avama. Let's look at this in the context of the halachas of Yibam. One of the halachas of Yibam is that ma be the Avama, just like the full, when one wants to consummate a relationship with the Avama, so Maimer is some type of like a middle step. It's a rabbinic kedushin in the Avama. But that's only leading towards the full biblical status of Yibam, which is Bia, which is having a relationship with the Avama. Now, the Gemara in the first parak in the Ches Amid Bei says, V'yibma, which means to say that Bal Karcha, you can, if the Yavam decides forcefully against her will, even if he forcefully goes and has relations with her, he acquires her. So therefore he says, I've kedushin the Yavama Bal Karcha. So therefore the same thing would be kedushin. We're talking about Yavama. A Yavama, she doesn't get the choice to decide. It's not a regular marriage. From heaven they dictate, you're going to be his wife. If you're going to be his wife, you could do it Bal Karcha. So then you could do the kedushin, which is the middle step also Bal Karcha. For Rabbanan, they argue, no. Gami me kedushin the Yavama. They learn, not from the context of kedushin, Maimer has two characteristics. One characteristic is, it's an element of Yibum. Because we're talking about Yavama, it's doing the first step of a not a regular marriage, but of a Yibam marriage. So Rebbe's right on that point, which is, so therefore just like that could be Bal Karcha, so to this. But there's another element of Maimer, which is, it's a Kedushin. Now, therefore, they compare it to generic Kedushin, which it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chav Dal, V'holcha, and she goes, V'hoislish acha, and she gets married to another man, which sounds like that she gets a choice to decide. And therefore, they say that, no, Ma Kedushin, the Al Midaita, just like regular Kedushin, becoming betrothed, is she has to agree to it. I've conditioned the Yavama, and I have to sell it to the condition of Yavama. She has to agree to it. You're right. Yibum Bia, he could do against her will, but this is not just Bia. This is Kedushin. Kedushin has to be consented. Now the Gemara is B'maikamifaki. So what is the basis, if it has both characteristics, so what is the crux of their machlekes? So the Gemara says, Marsav, a Rebbe held, Mili di Yavama, Mili di Yavama, Havali Me'ev. The halachas of Yavama, which and we're talking about, yes, Maimer, Kedushin for Yavama, but we should learn that from the other halachas of Yavama. And therefore, just like we find by the Bia of the Yavama, Id Bal Karcha, so too regarding the Kedushin of Maimer. Whereas the Maimer of the Chomel, then no, Mili Kedushin, Mili Kedushin, we should learn not. This is Kedushin. Where do we learn that it's halachas from? We learn from the halachas of Kedushin in the Torah. So there's a rabbinic halacha of Maimer, which derisidigal halacha do we learn it from? Do we learn it from the halacha that we're applying it to, which is by Yibam? Or the format of it, which is Kedushin, which that halacha in the Torah says that it has to be with our consent, and that's their machlek is about which is the defining characteristic of it. Is it the context of Yibum, or is it the form of Kedushin, which again has to be with our consent? Now the Braisa also said that Asaba Maimer, that if let's say Shimon did a Maimer with the wife of Reuben, and then Levi's born, or maybe even if Levi was born first, and then he did Maimer in her, umes, and then he dies. So Tanakama said, as we said, the Tanakama, Reb Meir's opinion is, Levi is always going to be a problem with the wife of Reuben, she's always going to be considered Eshach was Avilamai. The second, the wife of Shimon, you can't do Yibam, because Maimer creates this type of quasi-relationship, but you can't totally exempt her either, because not a tzara of the erva, because it's not a full-fledged relationship, so you do chalitza and not yibam. Whereas Reb Shimon Naimer, he says, no, biyasa chalitza shel achzim and b'teres b'zasa. Which again, as we had explained, Reb Shimon is going on the case of the second one, the wife of Shimon. Reb Shimon says, if you do yibmur chalitza to the wife of Shimon, that will exempt the tzara, the wife of Reuben, who Shimon did a maimata. Now that the Gemara asks, Reb Shimon Ahaykoi, which one of these two cases is Reb Shimon going on? Meaning the Tanakhama says two cases. If Shimon first does Maimer and then Levi's born, or if Levi's born and then Shimon does Maimer. So the Tanakhama holds they're both the same. that again, Reuben's wife will be Esh Lachav Shabbat Lamai, and Esh Shimon will be somewhere in the middle, because Shimon ultimately ended up, it doesn't make a difference when Levi's born, Shimon did a Maimer, which makes a quasi type of Kedushin, so she's a quasi Tzara Sarah, but so you have to do Chalitz and Adib. Whereas Reb Shimon says that no, the wife of Shimon, if you do Yibim or Chalitz, will exempt the Baalas Maimer, the wife from Reuben. So the Gemara is, which case is he talking about? As the Gemara explains, if it's going on the case of where the brother Levi's born first before Shimon does the Maimer, and then the Maimer, and then Shimon does a Maimer, and that is what you would be saying there, but Shimon holds that having Bia with the second one will be kosher and will exempt the Zika, will exempt the first one, the wife of Reuben. But that's difficult, because Ha'amrit, you already said, as we proved out in the Gemara before, that we're medayik from the seifa of the Brisa, that Benel Seif Yavim Lepogribshim, we proved Rav Papa's opinion, not like Rabbeisha, that when Levi's born first, and then Shimon does Yibim, that Rav Shimon does not disagree, and he agrees that it would be Eishas Achav Shlohay Bailamay. Now, if that's the case, and since Rav Shimon holds a Maimer is a doubtful Kenyan, maybe Maimer is Kaina, and then that makes the second wife, meaning the wife of Shimon, would be a Tsaris Erva. So how could you do Yibum to Esha Shimon if maybe Maimer is Kaina, and since the first woman, even Reb Shimon agrees, is a problem of an Erva of Esha Al-Kashlai Bar Lamai, so and then maybe this wife of Shimon is a Tzara of that Erva, because he says maybe Maimer is Kaina, so how can he say you can go ahead and do Yibum to Esha Shimon? Moreover, a second part of this question is, that what would it mean that Esha Shimon is Peteret Sarasa, exempts her Tzara, which is the Baalas Maimer, but that's not true. According to Reb Shimon, in the case of Neil V'Achach Yavim, even he would agree that she's totally exempt anyway, because he holds that Neil V'Achach Yavim is the Eishas Al Chashabay Lamay. So you don't need the wife of Shimon to exempt the Tzara, the Eishas Reuben, because she's anyways out of the parasha. So if the Gemara concludes, Ella must be, it's a Asaba Maimer V'Achach Neil V'Achach, must be that he was arguing the case of only when Shimon first did the Maimer, and then the brother Levi is born. And that's what the Reish is telling us, this case, which is the Halach of Reb Shimon, that a Maimer, it's doubtful if it's a full-fledged Kenyan, or if it's totally not a Kenyan, even at all. That's why Reb Shimon says, M'mon avshach, either way, you could do Yibm or Chalitza to the wife of Shimon, and the Tzara, the wife of Reuben, won't be a problem. As we had already explained, where the explanation is that if the Maimer of Shimon was a full-fledged Kenyan to the wife of Reuben, so then that's like a case of Yavam Ulbasev Noilad, because he first did the Maimer, and only then Levi was born. And if you say Maimer is a full-fledged Kenyan, it's like doing Yibim before the Levi is born. And therefore, in such a case, even Eishes Reuben is actually eligible for Levi. Therefore, if you do Yibim to the Eishes Shimon, that will just exempt her Tzara. And if you say it's not a Kenyan at all, so then Esha Shimon is going to be permitted because she's not a Tsaris Erva, because we don't say that there's even a partial Kenyan with Maimer according to Reb Shimon, because he holds either it is or it's not. So if it is, so then they're both co-wives of Shimon and they're both permitted, and therefore you could do either way to the Esha Shimon and exempt Esha Reuben, who is not even Esha Reuben in this sense, but rather Esha Shimon. And if it wasn't a Kenyan whatsoever, so then you're right. Then the Eishes Reuben is not in the equation whatsoever, and she doesn't make a problem for Eishes Shimon to do Yibim Chalitza because she's not a Tzaras Erva, because she's not related to her at all, because Maimer is not a Kenyan at all in that side of the coin. Now, the clarification of this comes in the end of the Braisa, as Rashi explains, when the Braisa then says that by Yavam Usayv Noilad, that's where Shimon holds that then it's going to be permitted, but when it's Noilad Usayv Yavam, then it's going to be Aser. In other words, What Reb Shimon comes to tell us, that don't say when he says the bi'asa oy chalitzasa, that the, when again in the second one, the wife of Shimon, Shimon says that if you do bi or chalitza to the wife of Shimon, that would be even going back on the case of neilud v'achach asa b'maimer, that would also be talking about. That's why the end of the brisa comes to clarify that and says that no, that this case of Reb Shimon, where he says that You could either do bi or chalitza of one of them that will exempt the other one, that he clarifies, it says, that's only by the case where, that's the later part of the Braisa, where, as we proved according to Rav Papa, that he only holds that there's no problem of Eishal Chashay Bar Lamai when you first do Yibim and then he's born, That then clarifies on the first half of the Braisa, where when he says that the Bia or Chalitza of Shimon's wife will exempt the Balas HaMaimer, that's only in the case, based on what he says later in the Braisa, of when there's first Asab HaMaimer and then Ach Kach Ner Le'ach. Because it would be the other way around, that is what the end of the Braisa says, that even Reb Shimon would agree in such a case that then it would be a problem, because maybe Maimer is a Kenyan, and since if it's Eishet Achav Shalei Bailoma, even according to Reb Shimon, by Nevach Kach Yavam, same thing would be by Noilad Ba'ach Kach Asab HaMaimer. That's the conclusion of that part of the discussion, which again, as we said, it must be Tumah only on the case of first doing a Maimer and then the brother being born. Now the Braisa also said in Reb Shimon's opinion, he said, but if Cholis Labalis Maimer, if you do Chalitza to the wife of Reuven that Shimon did Maimer to, then Lo Yinefter Tzara, that will not exempt her Tzara, the co-wife, Esha Shimon. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? So the answer is as follows. Shum Dehav Yed Tzara, because her co-wife, meaning the wife of Shimon, is a Vadai, meaning she's definitely Zakuk for Yibam. And that is because, either way, if we say the Maimer of Shimon was Kaina, a full-fledged Kenyan to Esha's Reuven, so then they're both eligible to Levi. Then it's like a case of Yavim Ba'al B'Saif Noilet. And if you say Maimer is not Kaina, so then either way the second one is going to be fit for Yibam, because that means that she's not a Tzara Zerva, because she's not a rival of the first one, because she's not related. Shimon's Maimer didn't do anything. So she's Vade Zakuk. Ubalas Maimer is Suffolk, but however, the wife of Reuven that Shimon did a Maimer to is only Suffolk Zakuka, but maybe she's not Zakuka, because we said that we're not sure if Maimer is Kaina or not, and if Maimer is not Kaina, so then she's a Eishas Achav Shlohoi Ba'ilamai, because that means to say that Levi then is Neilad V'Akach Yavam, because the Maimer that Shimon did before he's born was nothing, and therefore her Chalitza is nothing to exempt the Eishas Shimon, because V'Ein Safik Maitzi Midei Vadei, which is a classic halacha that's mentioned, but in this context it means to say that the doubtful Zika of the Balas Maimer cannot remove the Vadei Zika of Esha Shimon, because she's not for sure Zakuk, and she is for sure Zakuk, and therefore doing Chalitza to Esha's Reuven will not remove the Zika of Esha Shimon.